polygamy's on the rise. Meet Rob, the polygamy guy.
It's your boy, Rob Kowalski, quickly becoming known as the Christian polygamy guy.
He's going to give us a number of reasons, five of them, why he thinks, and this is the title of his video, five reasons why Christian men should pursue polygamy.
Five reasons why Christian men should pursue polygamy. Yep, this is going to be a doozy, so stay with me. All right, before we get into it, I need to tell you that I am a committed Christian. I am a Jesus follower. My life is completely surrendered to him.
Now, I actually don't doubt this, okay, that he could be a genuine Christian and caught up in this stuff. I absolutely don't doubt that. I don't think that if you've committed polygamy or if you are a polygamist, then therefore you can't be a Christian. That doesn't mean, however, that polygamy is consistent with Christianity. See, I'm a monogamist and I'm a committed Christian. You should have no reason to doubt that. I think polygamy is wrong and immoral. Yet I'm a committed Christian. See, the fact that I'm a committed Christian doesn't mean that whatever I'm about to tell you is therefore sanctified or okay. There's plenty of believers who've made all kinds of errors in the past, including polygamy.
And I would not do anything that I didn't believe that God was okay with. To all my fellow Christians out there, let me just tell you this. The Bible has no ban on polygyny.
This is creepy. He has a bunch of young, attractive girls. Various kinds. You've got an Asian girl there. You got a redhead. You got a black girl. You've got a white girl, and maybe, I don't know, maybe Hispanic. You have kind of like, this is like the for some guys, this is your polygamous dream. I want a flavor of every kind. I want to marry all these different girls. The desire to feed my lust and have all sort of variety. There's a carnality and carnal lust that is often behind polygamy. The same kind of thing that's behind adultery, where a man just wants to experiment and try something different. Anyway, the visual here is disturbing.
I'm going to be using the term polygyny and not polygamy, because polygyny is the technical term for a man having multiple wives. But seriously,
And that's going to be common in this movement. They're going to say polygyny, not polygamy. Polygamy is an umbrella term. So polygyny is a kind of polygamy, but polygyny specifically says women can't do it either. Just only men. Only men can do it.
Moment to think about that. The Bible explicitly forbids all kinds of things and has punishments for each infraction, but polygyny ain't one of them. No punishments, no condemnation, not even a negative word about it. Nada. So let's put
not a negative word about it. I'm gonna push back on that a lot, actually. There's negative words about polygamy. So when polygamy comes up in scripture, I did a whole survey of every instance of polygamy in the book of Genesis, just did this, and I will put a link below to that. There's a whole bunch of negative words about polygamy. Now, does it give you the polygamy is therefore banned for all humankind? No, but they're negative words about it. That's where your standard was. Plenty of negative words about polygamy from the first guy who does it, Lamech. He's in sin. In his life is a bad example. To Esau, who's a bad example, who does it. To Jacob, and it's about deceit and lying. And his parents told him to get one wife. He came back with two. Laban, even after all that, tells him, don't marry any other women. And all the chaos that happens when Abraham marries Hagar, it causes all kinds of problems. And God doesn't even allow that son to be the son of the promise, because he says, no, your wife will bear you a son. He doesn't allow Hagar to be the one, even though he marries her. There's all sorts of negative stuff in there. There's all as well. Kings were told they were not allowed to multiply wives. There's something that was normal for kings that you would think that Rob, he'll endorse this later. He'll act like it's a good thing. But the Bible told in Deuteronomy, kings cannot multiply their wives. Jesus, he said things that ruled this out as well. We'll get into more of it as we go. I think it'll come up as we go into these five reasons why you should be a polygamist as a Christian.
Put to rest this idea that it was some Old Testament thing that God just allowed because of war or wanting to populate the earth thing.
Nope, that's not a good argument for polygamy, or against it for that matter. If God wanted to use polygamy to populate the earth, then Adam would have been a polygamist. Nope, he only had one wife. If God wanted to use polygamy to populate the earth, then Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his three sons, would have been polygamists. But no, they each only had one wife. The book of Peter, 2 Peter, I think it is, chapter 2, tells us, or is it first? I forget. It tells us that there were only eight people on the ark. Eight people on the ark. That is four men, four women. It was not used to populate the earth. So that's actually not at all what we see in scripture.
House of Israel, our spiritual ancestors, came from a man with four wives. And let's also be real with ourselves. The divorce
came from a man with four wives. Is that a case for polygamy? How about our scripture, the book of Psalms, came from a man who committed murder? Is that a case for murder? It doesn't make sense. You can't just take what's descriptive in scripture and make it prescriptive in scripture. Jacob, did something that he says, all, you know, the tribes of Israel came from Jacob, right? Jacob, he's got his wives, Leah and Rachel. Then they have Zippah and Bilhah were their names. They're two servants that Jacob married. All four of these women are his. This is what he's saying. That's a good example that the Bible is saying God used to bring all the tribes of Israel. It's not a good example. It's just what God used. Later on in Deuteronomy, God specifically says you cannot take a woman and her sister as a rival. It's gonna mess up your whole family. You can't do this. It's specifically outlawed in Israel, the very thing Jacob did, that Rob, the polygamy guy, is acting like is a moral good, is something to pursue. It's an example the scripture itself refutes in the Old Testament.
Divorce rate, even amongst Christians, is sky high, up to 50%. So don't tell me that monogamy is...
The divorce rate is not 50% among Christians if you count people who regularly attend church. The divorce rate is way, way, way lower. Those who don't attend church and just call themselves Christians, many who might be watching, many polygamists, I'll bet you guys, a lot of you don't even go to church. Let's be real. You're doing life on your own. You're off the grid as far as Christians are concerned. Your divorce rates are very high. My divorce rate's going to be very low. Faithful Christian, go to church, very involved in those sorts of things. I've been married now for 15 years.
Some magic fix. It's time to rethink our approach. Our current setup is far from perfect. Reason number one, scarcity of virtuous women. The wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, he said this in Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Now, why would he say that? Because virtuous women.
Here's a thought. He's going to say the first reason why we should have lots of wives is because there aren't enough good women going around. The solution to not enough women, good women, is marry a boatload of women. Maybe one of them will be good. Marry a bunch of bad women. Maybe you'll find a good one. This is not starting well.
Women are scarce. Think about it. Finding a virtuous woman in today's society is like finding a needle in a haystack. It's like finding...
Plenty of virtuous women at my church.
A diamond in a sea of cubic zirconias. Seriously, have you seen what's out there lately?
Yeah, there's plenty of virtuous women at my church.
So hold up, Pastor. You're telling me I get one chance at this. I get one golden ticket, and I'm going to give it away to a woman that's been dating around and possibly sleeping with several men before me, and then I got to come along and pony up? That doesn't sound...
Yes, but why would you pick her? Like, is that your only choice? This guy's living in a dream world. I'm sorry, Rob. I don't mean to insult you, man. I had one golden ticket, and I married my wife, who was a virgin when we got married, as was I. And we came together and developed a wonderful marriage and a wonderful, happy home. And it worked perfectly fine. So you're sitting here telling me that this thing doesn't happen, that is happening in my life right now. And that my alternative is I marry lots of women and I don't worry about it, because who cares if I marry a dud? I'll just marry another one later. That's insane. That's treating marriage like it's so little. The imagine the commitment level you have to that woman when you're thinking, I'll roll some dice with you, but I'm going to have some other ladies later on as backup, because I don't really expect you to work out that well.
Unrealistic. That's not even fair. So listen up, man. Answer this question honestly. Would you marry a woman with a past if she was one of three of your wives and not your one and only? I think the answer is an obvious yes. Polygyny...
Okay, I don't... A woman's past matters if it's also her present. Okay, so that matters. The people can repent and their lives can change. But if their past is a pattern of behavior that carries forward to the future, then that obviously makes a big difference. I'm not going to marry a woman who has a pattern of behavior that has not been changed by the Lord, of sleeping around or something like that. But what he's doing is he's not increasing your ability to choose a good woman, which Proverbs does. Proverbs is giving you all these lists of things to look for in a woman. Charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but you know, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy you always. I'm quoting here from the book of Proverbs, that there's one woman you're rejoicing in and you're letting her satisfy you always, always from your youth all the way on. That's monogamy in Proverbs. But he's saying, you know what? It's like you're gambling. And what you're doing is, if you get five wives, you're putting your money on more horses. And one of those horses is going to be a winner. And you don't even feel good about getting a loose woman, like, oh, here's an experienced woman who sleeps around and stuff like that. But I'll just add her to my harem because I'm going to eventually have enough women that one of them is going to be good. I don't mind having a bad girl here and there. Maybe she can make me feel good in different ways that I think she'll be good at. This is carnality in the name of a pragmatic, like, gambling approach to marriage. Scripture has you finding a good woman, not marrying a bunch one of them might be good. I mean, tell you, the virtuous woman you're looking for isn't going to marry you, Rob. She's going to say no to you. No virtuous woman's going to want to be with you.
Offers a realistic way to clean up the dating cesspool that we find ourselves in. Reason number two, supporting and protecting women. Right now, there's a major imbalance in the numbers game when it comes to marriageable women to men. Just in the United States church alone, there are 20 million more women than there are men. That's a whole lot of ladies who need a covering, and they need someone to look out for them. But what do we do?
I don't know about the statistics, but the idea here is that polygamy protects women. Protects women. He's already said, I want to marry multiple women so that I don't have to have so much commitment, so much investment in one woman. I can sort of spread my odds out, and maybe I have some duds and that's okay. I'm just going to marry a lot, and that way I get what I want out of it. This is a narcissistic, one-sided thing. Now he's going to flip it and go, and that's protection for women. Let's look at this.
We do. We put them in an impossible situation. We tell them, we'll pray for you, but then we basically assign them to a life of fornication, marrying a pagan, or spending a lifetime alone and becoming the cat lady in the process.
A woman in church who is single, there's plenty of single guys out there that are interested. The singleness is not usually because people don't want to get married or people can't find someone to marry. It's because they're not that interested. They're okay with singleness, right? That's more likely the case. But I don't think the case is that a woman is looking around going, you know, there's not enough good men out there. The only good man I know has already got a wife. If only I could marry him and be his 14th bride, then all the women could have a good husband. And then you've got all these, you just have all these problems of all these men who are single because they're just not as attractive or not as whatever they are in that culture to get that many women. We don't have enough money, that sort of thing. So you just end up with the rich dude with lots of women and then a whole bunch of single men. That's what you'd really end up with. And it wouldn't protect women because those women aren't actually being loved and treated the way that they ought to be in a marriage. It's weird.
Ideal. When you think about it, one of the first commandments God gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. Later, he commands us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So which of these two commands do you suggest that women break to uphold some tradition in monogamy that ain't even in the Bible? Polygyny can...
The logic here is that a woman cannot find a godly man unless she finds a godly man that already has a husband and then marries him, and that will help her be fruitful and multiply. Several things here. The Genesis command to be fruitful and multiply is not binding upon every person. It's something that God told Adam and Eve. We know this because Jesus actually weighs in on it. In the New Testament, he's asked about this, about the idea of staying single. And he says, not everybody can accept it, but it's a doable thing. Like there are those who make themselves eunuchs. They weren't physically castrated, but they chose to be single for the Lord. At that time in history, I'm trying not to give you too much info. At that time in history, they would use the word eunuch to describe people that most often were not castrated or anything. They were just single. They were celibate. So Jesus tells him about marriage and says you can't get divorced effectively without like some like major high standards. You can't just divorce because you want to. Like sexual immorality, adultery, you could divorce. But then the disciples go, oh, well, then if that's the case with the man and his wife, it's better just to not get married. And Jesus says, yeah, not everybody can accept that, but that's doable. You can do that. Catch this. Singleness is an option for Christians. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about it. If you want to be single for the Lord, go for it. Serve the Lord in your singleness. Don't become a selfish, self-seeking person. Do more ministry with all your freedom and singleness. Go for it. The command to be fruitful and multiply is not an individual command for every person. Jesus did not get married and have kids. Paul talked about singleness as a good thing, and certainly Jesus did as well. So that's step one in the problem of his... Sorry for pausing you there, Rob. It's what happens. Here, I'll match you. So that's not a command to every Christian. In addition to that, the idea that a woman has to be equally yoked therefore means that she has to find a certain high standard of like alpha male, super godly alpha male Christian guy. And there's a very short supply of them. But so now there's a picture of all these godly women looking for a man they can't find, so they have to marry. It's funny because Rob wants to have his cake and eat it too. So reason number one, the first reason he gives, there's tons of ungodly women. There's hardly any godly ones. And so you have to marry a bunch so you can find one godly woman, right? Then in reason number two, there's a bunch of godly women and hardly any godly men. And so they all have to marry the same godly man to get one godly man. This is just refabricating reality. Like I'm reimagining reality just to fit my purposes. But these two reasons contradict each other. If there's that many godly women, or excuse me, if there's that many godly men looking for godly women, reason number one, and if there's that many godly women looking for godly men, reason number two, then you don't need polygamy. But they're both being used as reasons for polygamy. It's weird. None of that's biblical, though. None of that's biblical. There is no command to be fruitful and multiply binding upon every single person. It's just not the case.
Fix that gender gap and start to balance out some of those numbers. Plus, it's just plain smart. Not only financially, but then women can share housework and child rearing, and it just makes life easier for everyone involved. Reason number...
Women can share housework and child rearing, so it makes life easier for everyone involved. Obviously, you have more wives, you have more children. If you have more wives and you have more children, you have more housework and you have more child rearing. It's not really going to be quite like that. Like in real life, I don't think that's how it quite plays out. But in addition, there's something that women have to share as well, which is one husband. So that is one woman who would have a partner for life, her husband, who she could sleep next to, who she could talk with, who she could do life with, who she could talk about the problems with the kids. There's less and less of him to go around. The thing that she's missing is her husband. She has to share him and jockey, and they have to talk about who gets to talk to him tonight, who gets to go on a date with him next week versus now. One woman's crying and he thinks, oh, I'm gonna go and support her and encourage her. But then it's this other woman's night tonight, or this other woman's crying too, and there's not enough of you to go around. It's weird to think like, workload support makes polygamy a good idea when it creates more work and it creates less of a husband to go around.
Number three, embrace your natural desires. Check it, fam. Polygyny ain't about ignoring our natural desires. It's about recognizing and respecting them. Attraction and companionship are part of who we are as humans. Have you ever wondered why a woman's biological clock stops at 35 to 40 years of age when she hits menopause, but men can make babies until we're basically fossils? God set that whole system up, and it begs the question, why would God do that? Let's face it, older men are never going to stop being attracted to younger women, and younger women are...
He's saying a bunch of things all at the same time here, and it gets a little confusing. Let's start with attraction is the reason. Like, let's put it this way. Men are attracted to lots of women, so polygamy lets men have sex with lots of women, so therefore polygamy is a good thing. Plenty of guys are going to like this, okay? It appeals to our carnal nature. My carnal nature likes this idea too. That's the nature of sin, okay? It's the same thing for theft. Theft appeals to my desire to have things that other people own. There's something about that I would like to have that stuff. I have a moral reason why I would never do it, but yet the desire can be there. It can appeal to something. Materialism appeals to a desire. These are temptations, yet Proverbs, as I read earlier, Old Testament says, let her satisfy you always. One woman. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Don't. Why would you look to another woman? It's not something you should be doing. This feeds carnality. This feeds perversion. There is, because of sexual immorality, let's go to what Scripture says here. I'll just bring it up for you guys. 1 Corinthians 7. On your screen right there. Okay, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He's talking about singleness here. That can be a good thing, singleness for the Lord, something else that Rob has ruled out and acts like it's where everybody has to get married. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, what do we do because of our temptations? Let each man have his own wife. And Rob, your unbiblical, unchristian, ungodly teaching here is conflicted right here in the Scripture. Let each woman have her own husband. What is this? This is monogamy. One and one. A woman has her husband. A husband has his wife. They each have their own. That's it. The issue Rob brings up is desire. People desire lots of intercourse and attractive other people. And so let's just pile on in more and more women. As the guy gets older, he gets another young wife. She's past menopause. Let me get another young one in there. It's so carnal. So carnal. And then the Scripture instead says, no, you have your own wife. You have your own wife. Then it goes on, talk about monogamy. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body. All the polygamy guys agree with this and they applaud, but none of them agree with what's next. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. What does that mean? It means that your sexual rights in marriage belong to what you belong to each other. So the husband does not have the ability or right to go and find another woman and sleep with her. This is not a biblical idea. It happens in the Bible, but it's not prescriptive. It's just descriptive. He's offering it as prescription. That is not a biblical idea at all. Let's keep listening.
Are never going to stop being attracted to older men. It's biology, plain and simple. By embracing polygyny, Christian men can stay true to their natural inclinations and stay true to their faith-based values. Have you noticed?
No, you can't. You can pretend to, but you can't. Like, you're not staying true. What you're doing is you're sanctifying, right? You're calling holy your desire for younger women, newer younger women. You're calling that a holy thing. And you're saying, like, well, you know, my body can still produce a kid. Yours can't. So this is probably God telling me that I should pursue a second or third or fifth wife so she can become pregnant, you know. Obviously, that's how theology works. Maybe the reason why women stop being able to have kids is because it's way harder on their bodies than men's bodies, who just produce one element that's not that big of a deal for us, whereas women have to actually nurture and give labor to a child, and it's dangerous for them the older they get. And so God, to keep them alive, has them stop after a certain rate. And that's a perfectly fine and appropriate thing. If God needed us to have kids and kids and kids, then again, why did Noah and his sons only have one wife each? Why is it that Joseph in Egypt, right hand of Pharaoh, could have had 100 wives if he wanted? He has one wife and he only has two sons. And God was fine with that, because you're just feeding your lust and your pride with this stuff.
How many young men today are converting to Islam? It's partially because they see polygyny as a way to fulfill their desires, flex some social status, and feel good about themselves. With
desires, social status, feel good. This is what scripture calls lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. People are converting to Islam because it allows them to feel arrogant, feel good about themselves, social status, pride of life, to have their carnality met in multiple wives. And so, hey guys, as Christians, we have to compete with that so we can dangle the stake of carnality over men, as if men are just, this is not how Christ does it. He calls us to die to ourselves, to come and follow him. If you want a carnal religion, go become Muslim, go become something else. You have the ability to make that choice and you can live with that choice, but I'm not gonna try to draw you to Jesus through pride and sin and all the things that are actually keeping you from Jesus. It's not gonna work.
But it's not just about the fellas. Polygyny also embraces the natural desires of women too. Follow me. See, women are hypergamous. They want to date up and they want to marry up. But with more women getting educated and earning like never before in history, it creates slim pickings out there for the women. It's like a game of musical chairs, and it creates a buyer's market for the men. Ironically, biblical polygyny would actually increase a woman's value because there would be more brides and less single women on the market, incentivizing men to marry younger before all the good ones get taken.
What is he even talking about? Okay, so women want to marry up. And so when a bunch of women all marry the same small group of guys that are very well off, they have more money, and they all marry them, then there's less women on the market. So then young men feel like, boy, there's hardly any left. I better really get out there and marry them real quick. And so then women are like, hey, there's more competition for us. Is that the story that we're getting told here? These things all conflict with each other. Like, at one point, there's hardly any good women to go around, so you got to marry a bunch just to find a good one. And then there's hardly any good men around, so then we're allowing a bunch of the good women to all marry the few good men. Oh, there you go. And then that's going to be helpful for them. And then you've got women, there'll be more competition for women because a whole bunch of women will be marrying a small number of men, and that will somehow be better for women. I don't know. This is like the salesman who, no matter what the product does, it's always good news. Like, oh, the thing fell off. Yes, it has a feature that's detachable now. Whatever goes on with the product, it's always a positive. It just feels like a salesman here.
Right now, outside of wanting to be obedient to God, there's almost no incentive for men to get married. Polygyny changes that. In addition,
the incentive for men to get married thing is a huge issue right now. Men, because of stuff like what we hear from some of the alpha male guys, and I believe in masculinity, okay? I've got a whole series of videos teaching against egalitarianism, right? So I'm not like, I want real godly masculinity. This is a worldly masculinity, unfortunately, in the disguise of godliness. But this idea that men don't have an incentive to get married, if a man doesn't see his wife as in herself an incentive for marriage, then something's broken in his brain. And if he only sees her as a potential threat, right? Like, oh, you might divorce me and then you're going to leave me and then I might lose money or something. If that's all he sees in her, then that's probably a very carnally minded individual. It's very selfish, very much about protecting himself. The whole idea of marriage is I'm going to lay myself down and protect my wife. Read Ephesians, right? For him to love her as Christ loved the church and to give himself for her self-sacrificially for his wife. This is all about your wife serving you, you existing, or her existing rather, for your pleasure. So men feeling that it's a lose-lose situation for marriage, like, well, the wife's more likely to have a divorce and da-da-da and all this stuff. Marriage is not a gamble, okay? Marriage is a strategic decision you make when you act and live in a godly life and you find a godly woman, not just woman in church, but a godly woman in church, which there are plenty, okay? They do exist, maybe not in some churches, but to go somewhere else, they do exist. And you build with them godliness in your marriage. And when you guys have hardship, you try to approach it in a biblical way. You really give a lot of insurance to your marriage. Okay. Is it possible it could fall apart? Yes. Nothing's guaranteed. You might get cancer tomorrow. You might get hit by a truck tomorrow. I don't know. Nothing's guaranteed. But the chances are much higher. Okay. That's how you provide security for the relationship, not through this garbage.
It lets women marry the top tier men instead of settling for the scraps. Many women would rather share a good, godly alpha man than have a beta man all to themselves. And
the irony here is that Rob, who obviously works out, he's nice and big and stuff like that. He thinks he's an alpha man, by which he means high quality man. He is the modern version of the Instagram girls who rate themselves as tens no matter what goes on in their lives. Rob, you're not an alpha man here, okay? You're not a high quality man here, okay? You're not a man who loves his wife, puts her first, acts like Christ towards the church, towards his wife. You're a man who is ambitious and full of selfish pursuits, and you see women as tools in the pursuit of your own desires. Now, you think women are going to want this alpha man. I don't think that's going to be reality for you. I think the kinds of women you're going to draw are the low quality women that you want to avoid, because they're the ones who are tricked by this outward veneer of alpha maleness. But they're not the quality women. Women who have biblical Christian qualities are immediately going to be turned off from you. And they're going to marry other guys, guys who, like me, are interested in biblical Christian values, walking in humility, who are willing to lead, but are also willing to sacrifice for those they lead. This is not the same as this sort of group of alpha men who all stand in front of mirrors looking at each other's muscles, barking and thinking they're trying to impress each other while the women are rolling their eyes at them. Like, this is not it. You're going to find club girls. You're going to find club girls. You're not going to find godly Christian women to marry. It's just not going to be the reality. But in his imagination, he's got all these high value women flocking to him. I'm the alpha male and all these women are coming at me. And you are so, like, if it actually worked, Rob, if you actually have a group of women, I guarantee you it's a disaster. It's a disaster in the making. Okay. Every Christian godly woman I know would see right through this, as the shallow narcissistic thing it is.
When you look at the fact that 80% of the single women right now are sleeping with the top 20% of the men, that proves to you that what I just said is true.
Notice he uses the phrase top 20% of the men. He's talking about statistics from, like, clubs, okay? Women who do sleep around, not women who save themselves for marriage, not godly women. Women who are loose do tend to sleep with the same small number of men who are not good husband material. They look good. They're good boyfriend material. Okay. We're comparing wrong things. I don't want that 80%. That 80% of women are the 80% that are on the bottom of my list. Okay. As a man looking for I'm not looking anymore, but when I was looking for a wife, every one of those women is disqualified at the beginning of my search for a spouse. So these are bottom women sleeping with bottom men. That's what this is.
True. Reason number four, expansion of the family and community. Remember that be fruitful and multiply command? God meant that, and it was one of his first commandments. Now, a woman can give birth once a year, but a man can literally make hundreds of babies a year under polygyny if he went on the spree.
Why Christian men should pursue polygyny. You can make hundreds of babies a year. Guys, you can have so many children, you won't recognize them or even know their names. You will have so many kids, they will unintentionally marry each other and create incest babies because you just had so many. Isn't it wonderful? You will sleep with so many women that in 1 year, you won't even be able to celebrate their birthdays. There's going to be so many women falling down at your alpha male feet to have your kids. Isn't it amazing, guys? Do I have to push back on this, or just can I just show you what it is?
Again, God gave man that ability. Why would God do that? Plus, polygyny ensures...
The logic here is, if God didn't want you to have 100 babies a year, why did he give you the ability to have 100 babies a year? Do you realize that I have the ability to murder 1,000 people a year? If God didn't want me to murder 1,000, why on earth would he... Again, the ideals in scripture, Adam and Eve, they're supposed to have lots of kids, right? One wife. Noah and his kids, they're supposed to repopulate the earth, one wife each, just one. Abraham tries to have multiple wives to have a bunch of kids. God says, nope, just through the one wife, Sarah. Then you've got Jacob, who does have multiple wives, and you try to use that as a positive example, Rob, but the scripture in Leviticus literally refutes that and says, nope, you're not even allowed to do what Jacob did. Now, God used it, but not because it was good. Don't do that. That's not how we're supposed to do things. You have this over and over again. You have a scripture telling you to rejoice in the wife of your youth, the singular wife of your youth. Let her satisfy you, meaning not another woman. There's so many things we could go into. In church leadership, 1 Timothy 3, it says that a man who is not a one-woman man, right? He has multiple women. He can't even be in church leadership. He's literally disqualified from leading the church, yet you'll call him a top male because you're taking Christianity and you're attaching it onto your like Andrew Tate view of manhood and your red pill view of manhood instead of a biblical view of manhood. I get how you're pushing back against the feminism of our culture, and you should, but you're pushing back against it with like the weirdest, basically unbiblical, unchristian understanding of manhood.
Kids inherit quality genes because more women are mating with the alphas. The Bible says children...
Better quality genes because more women are mating with the alphas. This is a Christian reason. Hey, you men out there, you 5'3" men out there, like me, I'm 6 foot. Rob, he might be tall. I don't know how tall Rob is. Okay, but I'm 6 foot. Right, I still got my hair. Like I got quality genes, guys. You guys out there that are like under 5'8", good news, you won't get to have kids. There'll be less kids for you, less of your genes running around. We're going to create the alpha race of just the largest. Genetic engineering is not a reason for polygamy.
Our heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed are those who fill their quiver with them. So the Bible teaches that having... Yeah.
Quivers don't fit 150 arrows. That's not what was meant.
A lot of kids is a good thing. And the biological family is the number one tool to produce and raise disciples to take over the world and populate heaven. But the devil has blinded us into thinking that a man can't take more than one wife. And let me tell you, that lie leads...
I've heard this from other polygamists too. They say it's Satan. Not only are you wrong, it's Satan. Satan has tricked you into thinking that a man shouldn't have more than one wife. Even though 1 Timothy 3, and I know the polygamists will say I'm interpreting it wrong, I've read... I countless commentaries when I did my series on women in ministry, countless commentaries on this, looked at the Greek, looked at all that stuff. It absolutely means it's man of one wife is the one woman man is how it's worded in the Greek. It absolutely means and is unavoidable that it means you cannot have multiple wives. Now, it may also mean faithful in marriage, a man who is just faithful in marriage. But the thing that describes faithfulness in marriage is that he's a one woman man. Singular, one-woman man. That is a requirement for church leaders that Rob calls demonic. He says Satan has blinded. Well, then Satan somehow blinded the writers of the New Testament too. The polygamy guys will say adultery is a term that can only be applied to women. It doesn't apply to men. Men can't commit adultery. Not in that sense. But Jesus says that a man who divorces his wife and sleeps with and marries another woman, he's committed adultery with her. So here's a guy who gets divorced, except for sexual immorality. That's an unjust. So he has an unjust divorce. He marries another woman. That's adultery. But polygamy guys like Rob are going to say the same guy can stay married, marry another woman, and it's not adultery. So only when he's divorced is he required to be monogamous. When he's married, he can be polygamous. It's because you're forcing your view on scripture and it's not really there. Jesus uses Adam and Eve as our example. One man, one woman, becoming one. That's the example. Rob values women. He values being a man. He values having kids and he values having sex with women. He doesn't value marriage. That is the problem with his views.
So all kinds of problems. Wives become hard-hearted, rebellious, disrespectful, and the men, if they don't end up cheating and ruining everything, they stay in the relationship and their kids grow up seeing them weak and powerless, and then the cycle continues throughout the generation.
The solution to discontent wives is not polygamy. This is so dumb. This is so, so dumb. In scripture, when you see polygamy, you see discontent wives, right? Look at Hagar and Sarah. First example that we have a description of the actual women themselves. Then Leah and Sarah, second example, totally discontent wives. Esau marries women that says they were like a thorn in the side of his parents. It was something that was very unpleasant for them. You have discontent when there's polygamy. You have infighting. You have arguments over which kid gets more inheritance and who's going to be considered the more important family and who's going to be the most important wife and all this sort of thing. This, you're living in fantasy. This is, I know that Rob doesn't have multiple wives. Like, this guy's not married to multiple women because he wouldn't be able to, with a straight face, make up all this stuff about the fantasy land of like a man with 10 women, because he would know from reality that it just doesn't work that way.
It's a vicious cycle, but polygyny, it breaks that power dynamic and it allows parents to raise good, godly children. You see, patriarchy without polygyny, it is possible. But polygyny without patriarchy? Now that's impossible. So polygyny is about expanding your family, but it's also about building strong communities and raising generations of warriors for God. Reason number 5, FOMO.
So this is the difference between biblical patriarchy or biblical complementarianism, I would call it, versus like a worldly patriarchy. Polygyny or polygyny is a worldly patriarchy thing, but it's not a biblical one, because biblically, marriage is modeled after Christ and the church. It's this incredible devotion between two individuals modeled by Adam and Eve as well. And so you've got this picture that is not just men in charge as the only thing that we care about. When he said, and he didn't say the quiet part loud just yet. Maybe he will in a second when he talks about FOMO. But when you have multiple wives, it's impossible for the wives to have as much power as one wife would, right? Because they're going to be jockeying for position and for the attention of the man. And so the idea is that the man has more power because he has a more divided wifery. They're more divided and spread out so that he exhibits, there's only one man, lots of women, so he has more power in those relationships. It's not enough that the man is the head of the household. He has to have like conflict and division amongst his wives so that he can be the one that they're all appealing to. There's the amount of ego and self-worship involved in this is insane.
Many men fear getting married young because they haven't hit their sexual marketplace value peak. As they get older and they start earning more, their value is going to rise and they don't ever feel like they settle later. They also don't.
So yeah, men's value is estimated in the sense of finances. That's how men are evaluated here. Women's value and maybe their attractiveness or something like that. This is not what scripture suggests. It suggests that a man's character is his number one assessment of his value, not his money.
Don't want to fornicate because they've been told that's a sin, and they're not wrong there either. But they're young and their hormones are raging. So what's a young man to do? Because they've been falsely taught that monogamy is the only marriage structure acceptable to God, what they do instead is they go out and fornicate and feel guilty about it. They sleep around and break women's hearts, and that makes it harder for those same women to pair bond later in life when they do get married. Remember.
So men's anxiety about getting married causes them to sleep around. Like, I just got married. Like, just get married. How about don't fornicate and sleep around? It's like one of the major teachings in the New Testament. Like, yeah, don't fornicate. What should you do? Should I get married instead? Well, yes. Like, yes, do that. That's nothing wrong with that. That's entirely appropriate. Now, don't just get married to sleep with somebody, but it is something that's going to help you to direct those natural desires in a positive way. That's your only reason for getting married. You got problems, but it's a reason. It's one of the reasons, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he's painting a picture where it's like, well, if only there was polygamy, because right now monogamy forces young men to not get married, sleep around, and then women are compromised and men are compromised and they feel bad. Polygamy would fix all that.
80 to 90% of the divorces are being followed by women right now. That is a pair bonding problem, and it's a direct result of the false doctrine of monogamy only. With polygyny, marriage becomes more attractive to men. If a man knows before marrying that he can marry another later in life if he so chooses, that's a game changer. Men are unlikely to surrender their single opportunity if they think there's a chance that they might find a woman they find more desirable down the road. So,
women, How do you like this? A man is more likely to marry you at a young age because he knows that if he doesn't like you later on and finds someone he likes better, he can marry her too. No worries. I can marry any young woman. I can lower my standards really low because I just need to curb my sexual urges. I'm just going to marry this girl and we're going to sleep together. And later on, I'll find a better girl once I make more money and I'm worth more value. And then I can find a good woman. For now, I just need a sexy woman. That's all I really need. This is carnality, sinfulness. It is lack of self-control. It is the one thing that the alpha male category, that I shouldn't say alpha male, but the red pill category, doesn't have self-control in these regards. It's very much meant to feed man's egos and feed man's desire for ambition and power. It's not about self-control. It is about feeding egos. At least that's the negative side of it. Okay, there's the truth that men do need to be revived in what that it's good to be a man, and that manliness itself is a good quality, but it needs to be a godly manliness, directed and controlled and protected by the example of Jesus, by the teachings in Scripture. And we're to put off all sinfulness. This is just trying to sanctify sin by calling it polygamy.
So instead, they hang on to it and they repeat an endless cycle of sinning and repenting, or they just abandon the whole thing out of guilt. Again, God made provisions for all this. And the provision was a man has the ability to go out and marry more than one woman if he so chooses. So that's it.
The Scripture does not say that. That God gave polygamy so that men could get low quality women to have sex with when they're young, and then get higher quality women once they're higher value men and have more money. Like, that is not something Scripture has said. This is your own version of Christianity. Rob, you should not be teaching. You should not be standing up and telling other people that you speak for the Lord or for Christianity. It does not represent what the church has said through history, that's for sure. But it also doesn't represent Scripture. I've given you several verses that absolutely contradict what you're saying. You are in danger, man. You're in danger. And the people that you're trying to teach and lead, however many are following you, they're in danger too. And now some are going to say I should leave Rob alone because he doesn't have that many followers. He's like 40,000 on YouTube right now. Maybe I don't know where else he's on, Instagram and other stuff probably. But they'll be like, Mike, why are you punching down? I'm not punching anything. This is a rescue operation, okay? There is a rising move of polygamists in our culture and polyamory and all that stuff, because what Rob has in common with the liberal side of things that are pushing polyamorous stuff, including polygamy, is low moral character, low moral concern, and a devaluing of marriage and what it means for two to become one. It is not seen as in itself valuable as it represents Christ in the church. Instead, it is seen as a means to an end in my endless pursuit of my own benefits. It's just narcissism pushed into marriage. In Rob's case, focused on men, right? Man-focused narcissism. They say it's beneficial for women too, because they can tell stories about how they think it might be. But in reality, it's something else.
My five reasons why Christian men should pursue polygamy. I hope you enjoyed it. I also have a coaching program where I help men who believe in plural marriage find their first wife with the potential to take more down the road if they so choose. And that woman can't divorce them because that's the agreement.
He has a legal way of enforcing polygamy. I don't know what this is. This sounds creepy. So he's going to train men on how to, you marry a woman and then you work this agreement into the relationship so that she can't divorce you later because of maybe some prenuptial thing that they sign. And so then she can't divorce you later, even when you take another woman. I'm sure they have a way of trying to work around the laws. Maybe they don't call it marriage. Maybe they call it something else. But there's some way in which he's going to try to set women up. This is about, this is something that the red pill community has been recently doing, which is learning how to be more manipulative of women. It's not protecting women here. We're going to protect ourselves no matter how many of them are left in the wake. That's the idea. That's so shameful. It's so shameful.